having that understanding and that sense of peace in what's to come. That's kind of what I always look to. I'm not an overthinker, or I try not to be. So I don't try to think of the what ifs.
There you go.
Welcome to Christ in All Things, a conversation about meaning and purpose.
It's based on a verse from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Christ in All Things is a listening ear into conversations about receiving and giving the love and hope of Christ.
And these conversations are an invitation, because as much as you'll hear, and as much as we enjoy having them, digital media operates from a distance, and that's not what's best for us, with God or with one another.
So, thanks for listening. And if you're in the neighborhood, we invite you to participate in person in the life that finds its epicenter at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Welcome to Christ in All Things. I'm Pastor Lance O'Donnell.
I'm Pastor Jason Schachman.
And we are here with our special guest today, Brett Andrew Helwig.
Hi, Brett.
Hi. Nice. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's great to have you sit down with us. We've been looking forward to this conversation after we talked to your wife for some time. And we'll probably end up releasing those similar to each other in
we could.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, Brett, good to have you here. Give us birth date again.
I was born on June 14th, 1995. It's the least celebrated holiday in summer, Flag Day.
Flag Day. Okay.
And you were born on Flag Day.
There you go.
Nice.
Which has its appropriateness because your father is now a retired
police chief. For the village of Oconomowoc Lake. Prior to that, he was a Milwaukee sheriff's deputy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I did not know that. All the things, see, there's wonderful things you learn here on Christ in All Things. It's not all highfalutin theology. Sometimes it's just good neighborly stuff.
Yeah, and that often leads to good, solid
theology.
Even highfalutin.
Yeah, even.
Theology.
As we discover Christ in all things.
So, Brett, you know, because you've listened to a few of these before.
Yeah.
And it's a great, we love doing this because we love getting to know the people of St. Paul's. And one of the reasons for this podcast, it's always, you know, we don't do this for international notoriety. We do this as a way to get to know people and for our people at St. Paul's to say, hey, did you hear so-and-so to share you with the people in our community.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's great to have you here. So Brett is your first name. Do you know what Brett means?
I did a little bit of research. Not a whole lot there other than somebody of or from Britain or Brittany.
Okay.
I'm a little bit English, about a quarter.
Okay.
So I guess there's some appropriateness there. The majority is German, but I'm really, as my mom would say, a Heinz 57.
Yeah.
I gotcha. So
you want a little more background on it? On Brett?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
okay. So it's actually of French origin to describe a Celtic people from the southwest corner of England that around the 6th century were driven out by the Anglo-Saxons and settled in what is now Brittany, France, like the town of Brittany, France. The Bretons was the name of this Celtic tribe, right? So there's some Celtic root to that name, Brett. And to this day, the Bretons, or the Britons, are one of six of the Celtic nations that returned to the island of Great Britain and settled there across Scotland and the Isle of Man and Brittany and Wales. And there's one of that, I'm forgetting one of them. But one of those tribes that crossed back across the channel and settled into Great Britain after they were allowed to do so.
And so there you go.
Some real strong Celtic.
Is there a story
there
behind this name? How you got it?
My mom and dad both liked it. funny enough, it was either going to be Brett Andrew or Jesse James.
Yeah.
Well, that name will tell a story.
What an interesting name for a police officer's son.
Well, my dad's middle name is James, so that's where they were going to keep a little bit of family lineage, so to speak, with the James, but they really liked Jesse. They ultimately decided on Brett. I was born in 95, not really the shining era of the Favre years yet.
But close.
But close too. So whenever I introduce myself to somebody, they don't quite get if it's Brett or Brent or whatever it might be. I'll say Brett like Favre. That's slowly dying as I meet younger and younger people because they say, who?
What year was it that Favre, was it 90?
So he first played for the Falcons. I think he came to the Packers maybe in his 95 to 96 season.
All right. I was trying to remember.
Maybe 94 to 95.
Yeah, I think it was before that.
All right. I was trying to remember.
Because 97 was a big year.
I'm sure that's a good name for a Packer boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I have a younger brother's name, Jordan. So now there's Jordan Love. So we're just kind of.
Well, after the fact, though. So for those of you who are listening elsewhere and don't have a bloody clue what all this means, Hall of Fame NFL quarterback Brett
Favre
played for the Green Bay, Wisconsin Packers for a number of years. And I, you know, off the top of my head, I'll offend half the congregation by not knowing that.
Had the most touchdown passes in the history of NFL
for a time, and also the most
interceptions. Yeah. So a real gunslinger of a quarterback.
Oh, he was great to watch.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
All right, so Brett, so the story is they just liked it.
Yeah, yeah. There's no family connection there. They liked the name Brett, so that's what they chose.
Okay. How about the middle name?
So Andrew, my dad's name, first name is Andrew. That was the main reason they picked it. And I know after a little bit of research, it can mean manly, brave, courageous. I've even seen warrior. So that's what I know about it there. But
okay, that's a cool meaning. What did you find, Pastor Shackman?
About the same Greek origin, meaning strong, manly, always.
Yeah, andros. Is the word is the Greek word for man.
Yep. Yeah, always. In connection with the first disciple, Andrew, who was originally a disciple of John the Baptist. So in all the digging of research that I've come from English-speaking world anyway, it's always connected to Andrew the Bringer.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. How about Helwig?
So I was able to use a little bit of my German. I took 4 years of German in high school. Broken, very German in origin, basically two words put together, Heil and Vig. Heil means luck. Vig means war or battle. So luck in war or luck in battle is what I understand.
Yeah. First time that the name Helwig as a surname is found in history written is actually in Prussia, which we Lutherans have a pretty strong connection to that Prussian era. Actually, we American Lutherans have a pretty strong connection there, as the forced Prussian Union was one of the reasons that we ended up with Lutherans in America at all.
Yeah, at least up the Mississippi. An interesting part of American history.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Lutherans, like so many of others, came to the United States, in the United States anyway, came for either one or both of two reasons, either for economic opportunity or for religious freedom, and often for both. And that was the case of most of the Missouri Synod founders, you know, who fled Germany, both because there was certain economic opportunity here, although it was Wisconsin was the frontier. It was also an opportunity to worship according to conscience, which they didn't have, and were being forced under threat in Prussia. So Brett Andrew Helwig.
Cool. Now we got his name down. Okay, so now that we know who you are, let's talk about how you got to be who you are. So what are the top, like, 3 to 5 things in your life that have brought you to be the man that you are?
Do you want me to list them all off or go in a little bit of an order here? I'll start with the first one, what I kind of chose as my top here. So that's going to be family. My family has been a big foundation of kind of who I have become or why I am the way I am. I have been blessed to know a lot of my family, both immediate and extended. I had the opportunity to grow up with a lot of my extended family, which people don't always get to do, so I'm very blessed that
and
way.
And how many are we talking about here?
So my dad is one of eight, and my mom is one
Love
of four.
It. Okay.
So I have 26 first cousins on my dad's side of the family and eight first cousins on my mom's side of the family.
And are most in Wisconsin in the area here?
I have several that are in Wisconsin and then throughout the U.S. So part of why I kind of had family as my first thing that formed me. The second one I picked was church, and I'm going to kind of tie those in a little bit with each other. So I was born in Milwaukee, St. Joseph's Hospital, but when I was 3 months old, we moved out to Summit, Wisconsin, and went to school and church at Holy Trinity in Okachi. And at that time, I had the principal was my uncle. So there was a lot of close connections there. My cousins I went to school with, we'd hang out after school all the time, going to each other's houses. And then...
You know, Holy Trinity, if I remember rightly, is a breakoff from St. Paul's back in the day.
That's yeah. What I've come to find out within the last couple of years here, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that kind of connection with family... My dad being one of eight kids, not everybody ends up in the same place. My dad actually moved around quite a bit when he was growing up. My grandpa was a teacher and then became a principal for the Wells Synod. Started out, my dad grew up in Milwaukee, then shifted into the Manitowoc area where he met my mom. And then my dad moved up to Minocqua area, northern Wisconsin, to finish out high school. And so kind of through...
And was your grandfather a principal up there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
At a Wisconsin Synod school in Minocqua.
Yep. It's Trinity Lutheran Church in Minocqua.
And he taught as well, or was he...
Yeah.
So do you know, what was his subject as a teacher?
He was English.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If he could see how I write or now or how anybody writes or learns writing these days, I don't think he'd be too impressed anymore with the linguistics that go on in today's culture. And so kind of with my dad having so many siblings and kind of moving around as they were growing up, people ended up in different areas or settled in different areas depending upon their calling.
Notice the word he used there.
Calling.
Yeah. Let's come back to that.
Indeed.
You know, where they went, depending on their calling. Sorry.
Yeah.
You used a very Lutheran, well, a very Christian word in a word that we like to use.
Yeah. And we'll definitely come back to it. So your dad.
Yeah, my dad and my uncle, his closest brother, his brother that was closest, young, just a little bit younger than him. They were like two peas in a pod. Out of the group of eight, you have some closer siblings, so to speak. He lived in the Oconomowoc area while I was growing up. Unfortunately, back in 2016 now, he passed away from some cancer.
Oh no!
So that was a you know, not a fun moment.
So you would have been how old at the time?
So in 2016, that's when I met my now wife. So I would have been 19.
Oh, and you also had another major life event happen about that time. related to your health.
Yeah.
Holy cow. What an interesting year.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Well, with that kind of a leave, we better.
Well, you, right? You,
yeah.
So, because can I talk about it?
Oh, yes. Certainly.
So you, if I remember the story rightly, you're 19 years old. You're home from college at Platteville,
yep.
right? Where you studied engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And you are being a good, responsible engineer type and saving money by rotating your own tires.
Yes.
In the driveway at home, not too far from here.
Mm-hmm.
And the neighbor discovers you passed out on the driveway.
Yes.
And you find out that you're...
Yeah, I was after, you know, after that instance and some research and expertise from doctors, I was diagnosed with epilepsy.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. That's one of those, I'd have never known that. Okay.
And hey. And fortunately, by God's grace, it's something that never comes up because it's been a pretty much a non-issue for many years now. So praise be to God for that.
So you're 19, you've got that going on around the, in that time also your beloved uncle dies.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a that was a rough moment.
That is a one
was he married kids and all this stuff?
Yeah, stepdaughter, my aunt Tammy, who we still stay in touch with, which is great. Was previously married, and so I guess she, you know, my cousin's a little bit older than me. My uncle was my dad's younger brother. Wrapping myself around here, but we were very close. Out of my just proximity wise, we were very close, and that led us to often spend a lot of time together.
Yeah. And you said just on your dad's side, there are 26 of you first cousins.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah.
Do you have a family gathering where you get together?
The last time we got gathered together as full as we could be was a couple of years ago for my grandparents' 60th anniversary.
Okay.
It is hard to get us all together.
Sure.
But, you know, partially because of all the different callings we talked about earlier.
Yeah. So that is 19 and a quick come to grips with your own mortality.
Yeah.
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 That is a thing I'm familiar with. Yeah.
Yeah, because yours was 3 years earlier.
Yeah, I was 16.
Yeah.
So how family, church, all of this around that coming to grips with knowing your own mortality, how did the background of family and church lead you to deal with that?
You know, a good answer for that from my perspective back then and still now, you know, you don't really know what's going to happen on this earth with your temporary earthly life here, but just having that understanding and that sense of peace in what's to come, that's kind of what I always look to. I'm not an overthinker, or I try not to be, so I don't try to think of the what ifs.
There you go.
It sounds a bit like how you respond.
It kind of does, right? My pastor walked into the hospital room and handed me one of those little trifolds that said, why, on the front. I handed it back to him, said, I don't need this, pastor. What? Well, you might want to hold on to it, Jason. You probably want to read
it. This is when
later.
He, at 16 years old, loses a bodily organ and discovers he's a type 1 diabetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I don't need that. I said, look, pastor, I don't understand God's plans. I don't know what he's got in store, but he's the one that's got this. So I don't need that. I don't need to know why.
Yeah.
He's going to use it. And away we go. I just got to manage it.
Yeah. So 19 wouldn't be my first encounter with a close loved one, a family member passing away. My mom's dad passed away when I was just a freshman in high school. Pretty young and pretty sudden. So that kind of was an age where you start to understand a little bit more.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the first time I ever had that kind of situation. So I guess I was, you know, maybe a little bit not primed, but understanding a little bit more and going understanding how, grief a little bit more.
Yeah.
So your, I mean, your grandpa is a church worker.
Yeah, my dad's dad. My mom's dad was a carpentry man.
Okay.
Also a Vietnam War vet for the Army.
Okay. Did he talk about that at all?
Not a whole lot.
Okay.
Not a whole lot. Spent many a time as a young kid helping as I could with construction projects. That's another thing that I have on my list, a knack of figuring out how things work. That's one of the things that makes me and who I am today.
Which you got in part from hanging out with your family.
Yeah.
Around the church.
Yeah.
Hmm. So I imagine we're skipping around here a little bit, but I imagine the engineer stuff from what you've just said, that comes into play fairly early in your life.
Yeah. When I was sometime yet in grade school, I'd take apart a pen just to see, you know, put it back together, take apart different things, see if I can get them back together. The learning experience there was maybe sometime, probably right around the turn of middle school to high school. I tried taking apart a fishing reel. That did not go so well. I got most of it back together, but it didn't quite operate properly. So then realized that not all things are made to be taken apart.
Okay.
Right.
So how did your, if I may, how, you know, you're a freshman in high school, you're maternal grandfather dies.
Yeah.
How did that go faith-wise for your family?
Yeah. So it's not to get too much into the weeds here, but my mom's side of the family is Catholic. My dad's side of the family is Wisconsin Synod Lutheran. All together, you know, as a kid, when we visited my mom's parents for the weekend, we'd go at you know, attend their church for mass and that sort of thing. So I kind of grew up understanding a little bit about the Catholic faith, and I have some strong family on that side of the faith, and or that side of the family that are strong in their faith. Because my grandpa was pretty young, 72, a massive coronary. So, but really, we stayed together or made it through that with family and with faith, both together, not you know, one separate from the other.
Sure.
I got all kinds of questions.
Well, go for it.
Okay. I want to connect the young experience of taking apart a fishing reel and failing to get it to work. I want to connect that to something you said earlier about trying to get the family together. And everybody has all these various callings, so it's difficult. How does not being able to gather with your family, which is the first thing that's made you who you are, how does that not being able to gather with the family affect those relationships? And how does that affect especially you and Carrie as you're building your own family of origin?
Yeah. Great question. It was easier when we were all younger. Young kids are easy to just take wherever you want to go, right? But then kids get older. My oldest cousin has a daughter in high school. My youngest cousin's going to be confirmed this weekend.
Wow, 26 of them.
I love it.
So the big age range. But when I was really young, we spent all sorts of time together as a big old family on these camping trips in northern Wisconsin, where we would get, you know, not everybody, but close to everybody at the same campground. And there for a week, and it was just a great time as a kid. I'm sure it was tiring for the parents, but some of the best summer memories as a little kid were made from that. But to go off your question there, kind of leaning back on some of those memories and fostering relationships as you can. You know, maybe I have some family now that used to be distant. Now they're close in proximity, and just kind of exploring some connections as friends, not just family, not just this cousin I used to know.
That's fun to watch that take place. I'm listening to you talk about this, and because, you know, I have 26 first cousins from, you know, because my dad was the fourth of 12. They didn't have bigger family. It's been fun for me to watch because in our family, the men get together every year for a golf outing, and that has really
brought about some great stories.
Great stories, but it's kind of cemented connections. It does over time, even though we're literally, like you guys, scattered all over the United States. And there's a text chat amongst the guys who go. And I just got one the other day, a picture of my 45-year-old cousin who's a successful entrepreneur and hanging out with my 55-year-old cousin who's in an analogous business, but they have become like brothers. And that's happened all over the family. Because the mixing that we've had over time, they become friends, and that's fun to watch. It doesn't happen with everybody, obviously, but
yeah,
that's cool. Do you have some cousins you're particularly close to?
Yes, and I wouldn't say in different ways. Ones that I'm close to just because of the childhood we had together, and maybe ones closer now because you know, age isn't as much of a factor as you get older, right?
Yeah.
So you just start to develop some relationships with people that, you know, when you're a 6-year-old and your cousin's 12, there's not a whole lot you have in common.
Right. Right. And as time goes on, like with the fishing reel, you just keep trying.
Yeah.
And you just, well, maybe we'll try this way. And maybe we'll try this way. And you figure out how to keep those relationships or how to build new ones with people that you've known your whole life.
Because,
folks, you can still build new relationships with people you've known your whole life.
Yep.
And there's this guy we know named Jesus. This guy we know named Jesus, who is kind of at the heart of how that can happen, because he takes broken things and he makes them whole. And that's Christ in all things. That's probably a good place for us to take a break and then come back, because I want to hear more about how figuring out how things work has formed you as a person. And then you got more for us. So listeners, stay tuned to Christ in all things. We'll be back in just a bit.
For show notes and other information about Christ in all things, visit ChristInAllThings.org. Comments may be emailed to comments@ChristInAllThings.org.
We're thankful to provide Christ in all things to you as a gift,
but it's not free to produce and distribute.
So if you'd like to help us make Christ in all things a self-supporting show and have a little fun in the process, please click the support page at ChristInAllThings.org.
A donation of any kind gets you a dozen environmentally friendly Christ in all things straws to share with your friends. Pastor Shockman loves these.
That is so not true. You love those way too much, and I still can't believe you bought them. A donation of $200 or more gets you some cheerful on-air clapping and a pair of Wisconsin-made wigwam hiking socks.
A donation of $1,000 or more gets you thunderous on-air clapping and a handmade Christ in All Things leather folio by the Murdy Creative Company.
If you want to donate more than that, well, fly us wherever you want, and we will record Christ in All Things at your chosen location. Within reason, of course.
All post-production surplus supports youth ministry at St. Paul's. Thank you for your support.
Christ in All Things is a production of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. For more information about St. Paul's, visit splco.org, email us at info@splco.org, or the old-fashioned way, give us a call, 262-567-5001. Intro and outro music, setting by Joseph Hurl. Copyright 1998, Concordia Publishing House, used with permission.